Amen. Why the sticky notes? We know God's got our name. We want to know His name. And the way we're sharing how that we know His name is by just saying what God means to us. So if you want to take one of the little stickies and write down what God means to you, that's what they're there for, okay? We're doing this during this month of Valentine's of February. Take your Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 12. I'm excited about this study today. The joy of worship. They're dedicating the walls. The walls have been built. Last week, we talked about how that the city of Jerusalem was being repopulated. They had come together as a people, and now in chapter 12, they're dedicating the walls of Jerusalem, okay? And the Levites, who are, they're the worship leaders, okay? The tribe of Levi, which came from Moses and Aaron. These folks were, they were priests, they were choir members, they were musicians. This whole tribe had the assignment of leading in worship. We're going to talk about the joy of worship today. And I'm already telling, these are telescopic. I learned this from the M&M guy, Mike Mason. Now, these are Mike Mason glasses. I'm going to have to put them on today. Is that all right, Sherry? Let's all stand and as we read God's infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Nehemiah 12, we're going to start with verse 27, all right? And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of their places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals and psalteries and with harps. Now look down at verse 43, Nehemiah 12, 43. Also the day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God hath made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. So that the joy of Jerusalem, I love this phrase, the joy of Jerusalem. The joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers of the treasurers for the offerings and for the first fruits and for the tithes to gather unto them out of the fields of the cities the portion of the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray for your fresh oil. Would you anoint us all that we will not listen to our flesh, but we'll listen to the Spirit of God. May you speak life into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The Bible tells us in Psalm 122:1, I was glad. Are y'all listening? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. John 15:11 says, these things have I spoken, Jesus said this, unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 16:22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man, the Bible says, your joy no man can take from you. Did y'all hear that? John 16:21. No man can take your joy from you. And I love this verse, 1 Peter 1:8. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did you know that a Christian without joy is a contradiction in terms? Why would anyone want what you've got if you've got a Bible under one arm and a tombstone under the other? I mean, why is it that so many of God's people have allowed the enemy to rob them of their joy? And you know, you go into the average church today, there's not a lot of joy. In fact, it's more like a funeral service than it is a worship service. Y'all listening this morning? By the way, he is worthy of our undivided attention this morning. He is worthy of our worship. And you know what? I've always kept this in my mind, learned it in my first church from the children's choir. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, Jesus truly means Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And I'll tell you, you'll be a happier person if you'll live your life for others and not yourself. You'll live a happier life if you'll put Jesus first, amen? Yourself last and others in between. I read this story this week about this little boy. He was he had his Bible. He'd been studying God's Word, and he'd been studying how the children of Israel came up to the Red Sea, and they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. And man, he was just sitting there on a bench, minding his own business, and he was having himself a spell. You know, I'm drawn to people that have a spell. He was having a spell. He had his hand on his Bible, and he was just saying it right there in the park, didn't care who heard him. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are a way-making God. Thank you that you are a miracle-working. He was just saying it out loud. Well, this seminary professor happened to be walking along, and he said, "Son, where did you find this joy? What's the source of your joy?" He said, "Well, I was just reading in the Bible here, and the Bible says the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea on dry ground." I mean, the whole tribe of Israel, all these millions of people walked through the Red Sea. Seminary professor said, "Son, I'm a seminary professor. You know, one of these people that is a joy robber, a joy sucker, one of these lily-livered liberals." He said, "I need to enlighten you." He said, "Actually, the truth of the matter is that at that point of the Red Sea, the water was only 10 inches deep. And you need to understand, because I'm a Bible scholar, and you need to understand that the children of Israel walked, they just sort of waded through those 10 inches. It was no big deal." We've learned that a lot of these miracles that people think are miracles are not miracles at all. Well, the seminary professor started walking away, and all of a sudden, the boy had a super spell. "Well, glory!" He began to shout. He stood, "Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! I've got more joy than I've ever had in my life." And the professor looked at him and said, "Son, what has got into you?" He said, "Well, I just learned something from you, Doc, that the children of Israel waded through 10 inches of water, but the whole Egyptian army died in 10 inches of water. They were drowned in 10 inches. You know what? It's a matter of how you look at things, isn't it? I mean, somebody always wants to rob you of your joy. Amen? Somebody wants to come along. You've met those joy suckers? You know, I call them liberals. And there's a lot of folks that they don't believe the Bible. You know, how can you believe the Bible and not have joy? Amen. I want to talk about the joy of worship real quick. Number one, the joy of purity. You see that in verse 30. "And the priests, the Levites, purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the walls." You see that in verse 30? You let a preacher and a people get pure before a holy God. Absolutely no demon or devil or hell could stop the power of our living God. It starts with, and I want to help you understand something today, and that is that you and I can be pure. I think about how Jesus cleansed the temple. You remember that account in Matthew 21? He goes in, they're selling goods in the temple. He goes in and he upsets the money changers, and the Bible says he cleansed the temple. That's purity. But then the Bible says, Jesus said, "Make my house a house of what?
Prayer."
Prayer. That's prayer. You got purity happening there. He cleansed the temple. You got prayer. And then there was power. The power of God came down because Jesus was in the house. Hello? Jesus was in his house, and the Bible says many were healed. Amen? He was healing people. The power of God. By the way, when Jesus shows up, the power of God shows up. Amen? I love it when Jesus just sits in the midst of his people. The power of God was there. And then there was praise, because you see, the religious people got a hold of Jesus and said, "Now, can't you contain these people?" I mean, the children, the Bible says, they were crying out in church. See, some people think that children bother me. I can make more noise than a child ever makes. Okay, amen. Thank you. I don't let children bother me. My first church, we didn't have a nursery, and we had 10 little babies. They cried the whole service. I just got louder. So I've been loud ever since. I had to outdo 10 babies, and I don't know how to stop it. Mark says, I'll cut you down. But I'm here to tell you, the children were praising God, and it upset the church folks. And Jesus said this, "Do you not know out of the mouths of babes I have perfected praise?" Hello? So there was purity, there was prayer, there was power, and there was praise going on when Jesus cleansed the temple. And that's basically what I'm dealing with today. I'm telling you something, this is exciting. You know, one of the problems that all of us have, we say we need to hear from God. And I've said that. Oh, God, I need to hear from you. But you know, more than hearing from God, we need to learn how to become listeners. And most of us are not good listeners. In fact, I look out here every Sunday and I see folks real quick that they you know, somebody walks out and everybody looks. You know, God deserves our full attention. Amen. And it's so easy to get distracted. But here's the distraction all of us have. I'll hold my hand up. We build a spiritual wax that we don't hear God. So I think God's speaking all the time, and we say, well, if we could just hear God speak, maybe what we need to do is turn up our hearing aids and start listening. Amen? He that hath the Spirit, let him hear what the Spirit says. All right, number one, I want you to hear this. You are the redeemed. The reason you can worship, you're redeemed. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves. That is, my sins were paid in full by the precious red, ruby, royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid my sin debt in full. He said, it is finished. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm here today to say so. I'm here to say there ought to be great joy in the house of God because we are the redeemed. And the only reason I think that we don't have joy is because we've allowed some joy-sucking devil, we've allowed some lily-livered liberal rob us of our joy. Hey, I'm not going to listen to a liar called the devil. I'm redeemed. I've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says. I said, the Bible says, the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen to this. This is a great quote that came from Ronnie Stewart. All worship is founded and based upon the grounds of redemption. And if you can't worship based on the cross of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to worship about. It's all about the cross. What Jesus did, and I'm going to tell you something. He died on that cross unashamed for you. He did. He took your sin. He took your guilt. He took your hell. He took it all on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was not ashamed of you. He had his name on his heart, on his mind. Last week we said it was even in his hands. Jesus had your name in mind. So, preacher, I really don't believe that. Then you're saying that God don't know all things. He knew you before you were born. You say, how did he do that? Well, hey, he created the first man and woman from nothing. Adam came from the dust of the earth. Eve, the rib. You know, by the way, the rib was from the side, guys. You're not to be over or under. You're to be partners with your wife. Amen? That means you open the door for her. I'm trying to help you to get romantic here. I mean, it'll pay off. Open the door for her. Carry her out to eat. Bring her some flowers. Treat her nice. Treat her delicate. Women are delicate, okay? So, treat them nice. All right. Praise of the purified. We're the redeemed. We also are the righteous. Now, hear me clearly. It says, and purified the people. We've been declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Having been declared righteous then by faith, we have peace through God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Jesus, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Our righteousness is in him. We have no righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. So how can we worship with joy? I'll tell you what, look up here, folks. I honestly will tell you my heart, and I'm refusing, I could care less what anybody thinks about this. I don't shout on my righteousness, I shout on his righteousness. Amen. And how can I lift my hands in church? Because he lifted his hands at Calvary. Right. And it's his righteousness that gives me the right to praise him. Amen. I don't praise him for anything I've done. I praise him for what he's done. Amen. I stand on his righteousness. A lot of people come to church and say, well, I'm just not worthy to even be here. You're not. You are his child. You are the redeemed. You are the righteous. We need to start agreeing here. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We are the righteousness of God through the blood of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. His blood paid the price. We've been bought by the precious blood. He paid the redeeming price. He has declared, Romans 5, that we are righteous. He says he has imputed. That means to be put to our account, his righteousness. And then third of all, this is an important word, by the way, repentant. And both the singers and the porters, verse 45 now, listen to this, going to teach you something. You may not know this, verse 45. And both the singers and the porters kept the ward, what's the ward, of their God, and the ward of purification. We're still talking about purity of worship here, the joy of purity. The Hebrew word for purification is the word tohorah. It means cleansing ceremony. They accepted the charge of the commitment to stay pure before God. That is repentance. According to Romans 10:29, God even gives us the gift of repentance. Jesus said, if you keep my words, he says, and keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. The word ward here means charge. It means commitment. In other words, the point I'm trying to get you to get here, we are to commit ourselves every day to the one who redeemed us, the one that we live under the umbrella and protection and a full life of his righteousness. Therefore, we as people who sin need to repent every day. Hello? We need to turn every day. Why do we need to repent every day? Because we sin every day. Hello? And the point is, these people kept their word. They kept the charge. The ward meant that they were committed. They were charged with keeping themselves pure. By the way, it's a choice you make, young person. Well, if you love me, that's what some squirt says. Some little boy wants to do something with a little girl. No, if you love her, you respect her body. And by the way, girls, you respect your own body. Amen. Save yourself for marriage. You'll be glad you did. Amen. Look up here. You can do it. By the grace of God, I did. I did. I saved myself for marriage. I can honestly stand here in this pulpit and say that. By the grace of God. Because they say you become what you think about the most, and I thought about girls all the time. I did. To this day, I love girls. One. I love you, baby. I made people mad when I came here. I told her, the whole church, she was hot. Some people didn't like it. Your preacher's not stupid. You know what I was doing? I was saying, I'm a one-woman man. Other ladies, don't even come close. I don't go visit a woman by myself. She goes with me. Yeah, or one of the deacons do. Because I believe I save myself for marriage, and I'm still saving myself for marriage. Amen? All of us need to learn to be repentant. I know the temptations are out there. Hey, if you are any kind of man, there's temptations. And ladies, there are temptations. But you decide every day whether you're going to follow Jesus. Amen? Live a life of repentance. I'm preaching to me as well as you. And you know what? You want to enjoy your life? Stay pure before God. Hello? Hey, you're talking about a joy sucker. You're talking about something that will rob you when you're living a dirty life. You got your head down. And I wondered at church sometimes. I see people like this, the whole service. Oh, I know you're saying, they're asleep, preacher. Oh, is that what it is? Because a lot of times I wonder, why are our heads down? The Bible says, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. I don't understand why people can't participate in worship. Because that's the next thing I want to talk about. The joy of participation. Look at verse 31. Then I brought up the princes of Judah into the wall and appointed two great companies. You know who the two great companies were? Choirs. Of them gave thanks. Therefore, one went on the right hand unto the wall toward the dung gate. The other went on the left. I just thought this was sort of funny to me. Remember way back, if you've been in this study, Sabalat, Tobiah, they were taunting Nehemiah. If you rebuild those walls, a fox could walk across those walls and it'll fall. Here's Nehemiah, and he's got these mass choirs. It was so neat what was happening here that day. I mean, huge choirs standing on the walls of Jerusalem. And why did he bring the choirs together? And this is why your preacher, I like praise teams, but I never want to see a church without a choir, and I'm going to tell you why. Participation. The more people, did you know you can sing in a choir, and if you don't have that great a voice, you're okay, because other people will make up for it?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen,
amen, Bernie. All right, I'm sorry. Bernie Tone. But he loves music.
Amen.
So he's in the choir. You want to know the real reason he's in the choir? I'm going to tell you the real reason. He loves people. And he's eyeing people out. And he tells me, I'm looking for the new person because when we do the welcome, I want to go welcome them. That's a good reason to be in the choir. But at the same time, make a joyful noise. Choirs. Why are they so important? Well, look at what it says here. Can you form two choirs? Huh. Take my coat off. I think I'm going to form three choirs this morning. We got three different groups. I'm going to get y'all to singing now. Are y'all ready? I just believe in participation, okay? So this is what I want you to do. I want you to be in choir number one, and I want you to sing as loud. Now, you got to do it loud. Is that okay? Loud. I want you to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I want you to say, hey, I'm easy on you middle folks. All you got to say is, where? And I want you to sing, down in my heart, okay? You got it? Are we square? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Can we do that? All right, let's start. Y'all, now look. The Bible says they were so loud that the cities around Jerusalem could hear them singing. Yeah, the Bible says you're to make a loud noise. So make a loud noise. I've got the...
Joy, 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 joy.
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
Where? Got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I'm not a good choir director. All right. It got us laughing. And if you're not laughing, why can't you have some joy in worship? Amen? All right, it's Valentine's. We're not done yet. We're going to twist this thing around. Over here, y'all did pretty good. I was surprised. Maybe it's all of you students. Maybe you're louder than I thought. All right, I want you to sing the other part of this song. And the other part of the song is, and I'm so happy. Okay? And I'm so happy. And I want you to be the second choir. So very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Okay? I'm so happy. I'm so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Am I got it right? Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. This is called participation. All right, let's start over here. This is going to be the first choir. All right, you ready? Let's do it. I'm trying to lead you here. And I'm so happy. Let's do it again. Everybody together. I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Now you know it. Let's do it right. I am happy, so very happy.
I have the love of Jesus in my heart.
You know, I think this middle group was the loudest. Oh, I do. Let's try it again. And I'm so happy, so very happy. Whoa, I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Y'all won. I tell you, y'all are the noisiest crowd in the whole church. And I'd rather make a lot of noise for the Lord Jesus Christ than the devil any day. Oh, you know, the world makes a lot of noise. I mean, man, I'm amazed since President Trump got elected. I've heard nothing but a lot of negative noise. God help us, folks. Give the man a chance. Anyway, But here we are in God's house. And guess what? We're on the winning side. Our God reigns. We ought to sing like it. And if you're in that choir, I want you to sing like you believe what you're singing. Amen? Sing it with all your heart. Give it your best. Be here on Sunday nights for the practice so you can give God. Did you know God loves preparation? Study to show thyself approved to God. So you can learn to sing. Be here. If you're going to be in the choir, hey, and I know some other folks are, I would love to see, my dream is to see that thing packed out for the glory of God. We need two choirs up here tonight. Amen? That means twice as much as we normally have, okay? All right, and then the congregation, it says in verse 40, and I and the half of the rulers with me. And it says in verse 30, and purified the people. There was a crowd in Jerusalem from all the surrounding villages for the dedication of the walls. The joy was that everyone got involved. My heart for our congregation is for everyone to get involved in this ministry. I told the new members class this morning, here is my heart. Some people have asked me, what is your vision? What's your heart? Here is my heart to be an equipper of the saints and to enable the people to do what God's called them to do. And as I told the new members this morning, if God's given you something new, God's called you to lead it, and our church is supposed to follow. Yeah. You say, you mean somebody could just feel called to do a ministry and we support that? Right. Because, listen, the Bible makes it clear every member in the body is important. And if you allow every member of that body to function, that's my heart. You say, well, preacher, I didn't think you were a yes man. I am a yes man. I want to enable people. You come to me and tell me that God's got a ministry for you. I want not only to equip you in that, I want to enable you in that. I want to encourage you to do that. Follow the leadership of the Lord. Get involved. My heart is to do that. The wives, it says, look at verse 43. The wives also and the children rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. And then the Bible says here was another involvement. There were instruments involved. I mean, they had themselves an orchestra going on. There were cymbals, not only the choirs, not only the congregation, but the cymbals. Cymbals, psalteries, harps, trumpets. It says with the musical instruments in verse 36 of David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe before them. There was a list of trumpets, cymbals or cymbals that cling together. Psalteries are string instruments that would call, like we call a guitar. We don't have one up here, but we got some drums. Jacob, where you at, man? Come over here and do one for us real quick. I've asked him to do a little thing on the cymbals because I want you to understand something. Everything is important in church. David praised God with every instrument. By the way, all instruments belong to God. Amen? Do the cymbals right quick. Woo! Glory! Do another one. One more. Did that upset y'all? You know what that boy just did? He made a joyful noise before the Lord. Amen? You say, that's all it was. But you know, that's all God wants. Amen. You say, well, now, I know Sherry, she wants it done right. But you know what? I don't sing either. And I can't play any instrument. But you know what? I love people that can. And I just believe that all instruments belong to God. I don't believe they were ever meant for the devil. I believe all instruments. Ask David. The Bible says that right here, it says the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And then the joy of provision. Let me tell you something. Here's an exciting thing. I dare say that a lot of us, we've got a warped thought process going on when we think of how God can provide. But I want to share some things with you that will make all the difference. Verse 44, and that time were some appointed over the chambers of the treasures, the offerings, the first fruits, the tithes, together into them out of the fields of the cities of the portions of the law for the priests and the Levites, for Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. Number one, a thankful heart is a joyful heart. Amen. Amen. Notice what he says in verse 27. With thanksgiving. Look at verse 31. Great companies of them that gave thanks. Verse 40, that gave thanks in the house of God. Verse 46, thanksgiving unto God. A heart of gratitude will worship every time. What are you thankful for? Amen? If we came in here with a heart of gratitude, we'd have revival. A thankful heart is a joyful heart. A thankful heart will worship God. And then a tithing heart is a joyful heart. The offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes. God gets what is best. The first day of every week in worship, the first part of every day in devotions and Bible studies, and he gets the first part of every paycheck. You say, preacher, why do you talk about money? Because God does. And I'm going to tell you something. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Says a lot. People, I've learned, I've been a pastor a long time, people that have a problem with giving have a problem with worship. Because folks, giving is all period about worship. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. And look up here, church. I don't know what job you have, but God provided that job. I don't know what kind of help you got, but God gave you the help to do that job. And if we don't learn to give back to God, and I believe it comes to God freely. I don't believe we're to designate a tithe. I never have. I can honestly say, you know, I got some things that I'm proud of. I've received in my ministry anonymous letters, which really encouraged me to do ministry because I know only the devil could have sent that because no one signed their name. And I've always believed that you put the tithe in the offering plate and you give it to God and you don't tell nobody how to deal with that. You know, the way I look at it, it's got to be freely from your heart. And if it's not freely from your heart, if you're trying to control even that, I'm going to tell you, you say, well, preacher, what if the church is not spending it right? God will hold the church accountable for every penny. I'll tell you, I had a friend of mine, and here's what we agreed years ago. I mean, I know this is just accountability thing, and I've kept this. He said, preacher, if we ever steal anything, we'll steal it from Fort Knox somewhere. I mean, if you're going to go to hell, he said, let's steal billions of dollars. He said, if we're ever unfaithful to our wife, may it be the most fanciest, the darlingest, best-looking person out there. He said, if you're going to go to hell anyhow, do it right. But if you're going to go to heaven, do it right. You know, I thought about that when I was studying this, and here's a good example. I've never put the two together. Jesus came up to the disciples, and they were fishing. They'd been fishing all night, and what did they catch? Nothing. By the way, you want to know why your finances sometimes are nothing? I'm fixing to teach you. Jesus asked the disciples, do you have any meat? They looked around. Nope, no fish in the boat. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. Yeah. I looked it up. He said, cast your net on the right side. Matthew 6, 33. And I mean, no, not Matthew 6, 33. That's another verse. But it's John 21, 5. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. And the Bible says they collected so many fish, the boat couldn't hold it all. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you'll obey me in this area, his promise to us is that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us more than we're able to receive. That's what Jesus said. God's word makes it clear. And by the way, you want one more verse? I was going to give you Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Ronnie, and I made my heart just broke for them. We would like to give, but we just can't give. I got in my flesh and I showed sympathy and I said, I'm so sorry. I hope things work out better for you. You know, when I walked away, I felt like a hypocrite. Because the truth is, they'll never get ahead until they put God first. And I did that to somebody and I want them to forgive me for that. I showed sympathy. I said, I am so sorry. I hope things can work out better. If I really want things to work out better for that couple, I need to tell them the truth. Put God first. So I'm here today to tell you first, and I want you to hear this. A tithing heart is a joyful heart. The Bible tells us that we're to give from what kind of heart? A cheerful giver. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. By the way, it always comes down to the heart. It's a heart question. So let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Tithing brings joy for all eternity. Think about that, for all eternity. And then third of all, a trusting heart is a joyful heart. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and the Levites that waited. In other words, they were waiting on them. They were the people. That was the leadership that God had trusted over them, the tribe of Levi. And the Bible says, they rejoiced for the priests and the Levites that waited on them, that waited. God had provided the tribe of Levi. If God has provided leadership, we should trust them to do what God has called them to do. Because you see, trust brings joy, don't it? I mean, I trust my wife. It brings great joy that I trust her. If I didn't trust her, I'd be miserable. You know, trust is a big word. It really is. And then last of all, the joy of praise. I left this one for last because I think there's something in it. For in the days of David and Asaph, in verse 46, of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. They were singing. Look at this. Verse 27. Let's go over it real quick. It says, and with singing, verse 42, and the singers sing, verse 45, and both the singers, both choirs sing, verse 46, chief of the singers and songs of praise, verse 47, they gave portions of the singers. The voice is the only instrument we all have to praise God. Amen. I'm going to let that sink in a little bit. I would love, I grew up as a child in a Pentecostal church, and let me tell you something. They sung, everybody sung, and everybody sung loud. And there was a lot of joy. It was, I mean, I remember that. A lot of joy. Singing brings joy. I'm going to ask you to do something. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing brings joy because if you keep a song in your heart, it's going to put a joy in your step. Amen? Keep a song in your heart. And church, I'm going to say it like it T.I. is. If you've got that joy all week long, and you got a song in your heart, when you come in here, we're going to have revival. Because you've got that joy in your heart. Don't let no lily-livered, backslidden liberal rob you of your joy. You sing your heart out. You shout your heart out to the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And then shouting. You say, oh my preacher, you've gone too far now. Look at verse 42. And the singers sang loud. And the singers sang loud. Verse 43. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Psalm 100 is my favorite psalm in all the psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Listen to this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. What kind of noise? A joyful noise. Amen. I'd rather hear a joyful noise than no noise at all. Amen. Oh, it's sad in a church when the devil has robbed a church that they don't have a song in their heart. I've been there. I've been to the First Baptist Chosen Frozen. I've preached in them. I've been to church where it would take a light to find the light. I mean, it dead. I've been there. I went to a church as a teenager one time. It had one light in the church. Man, it was so dark, I couldn't even see the people. I tell you, where Jesus is, there's light. I said, where Jesus is, there's light. Where Jesus is, there's joy. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I just believe where God shows up, we got something to shout about. Oh, hey. Joshua led the children of Israel, and what happened on the seventh day of walking around the wall of Jericho? They shouted, and the walls came down. Maybe if we started giving the Lord a big shout, the walls would come down. Amen? Last thing I'm done, sacrificing. In the days of Zabala, and the days of Nehemiah and all Israel, gave the portions of singers. I'm trying to talk too quick here. The gatekeepers, a portion of each day. In other words, they consecrated, said holy things to the Levites. The Levites consecrated things to the children of Israel. What's happening here was that they were offering the sacrifices of praise. His presence fills the place when we praise him. Listen to this, Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. The people were sacrificing so they could give God the very best in worship and praise. They gave support to the tribe of Levi, the Levites. Jesus sacrificed out of love for you. My question is, will we sacrifice out of our love for him? You know what? I stood there today, and I honestly had to think this. I thought this. You know what? I'm tired of coming to church, and this is me, nobody else. I mean, this lady will tell you, I'm wired all the time. Why do I need to get unwired here? I mean, I have a ball with her, if you only knew. We just laugh and we cut up and we just, we joined this gym and we didn't know this lady for anything. She said, can I take a picture of y'all? Y'all just seem like you enjoy each other. I do enjoy being with her, but I enjoy being with Jesus more. And when we're in here, it ought to be a place of great joy. Amen. We're the bride. He's the groom, and he's loving on us. That's why. Don't be ashamed to walk down here and write on this little piece of paper, "I love you, Lord." Oh, he loves that. He loves it. Think about your child, and they leave you a note and say, "Daddy, Mama, I love you for being my parents." Why can't we love our Father? Amen. Now I'm going to leave you one last challenge. This hit me right before church today. And I know this is hard, but I was telling one of our guys about this. Why is it that we don't have the faith that we need to have? He made the statement to me. He said, "You know, preacher, it's almost like we're right on the edge. We're right on the edge." Yeah, that building back yonder is $1.7 million. I don't like debt. You don't like debt. The modular system there is $127,000. By the way, it costs to serve God. It does. But this guy said, "You know, preacher, we're right on the edge. Why don't we just dive in?" And I said, "You know, why don't we?" For this reason. I thought about it. A little boy, he's scared of the water. He don't know how to swim. He knows if he jumps in the water, he's going to drown. But his father is there. And he's saying, "Jump, son." And the little boy's thinking of daddy. He's saying, "I know my daddy will catch me. Now, I'm afraid of the water. I'm afraid of all the doubts and all the fears and everything that brings, because I could die. But you know what? I'm just going to jump into my daddy's arms." I'm going to challenge you to do that. I mean, even right now at this invitation, maybe you're scared to walk down this aisle. You're afraid to come to Jesus. But I want you to know the Father's there. The daddy's there to catch you, okay? You maybe feel like right now you're drowning in sin and you know, there's no joy because you've been robbed of that joy. Things have happened, circumstances, and you're drowning. I want you to know today, if you're just, honestly, I can say this because I know it's not faith in faith, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross and he rose again, and he has all the power to catch you. He has all the power to forgive you of all your sins. Are y'all following where I'm going? I mean, there's a lot of analogies here. The water's deep. But hey, I'm going to shout whether Jesus, and I believe clearly Jesus parted the Red Sea. I believe it was a sea. I don't believe it was 10 inches of water. But even if it was 10 inches of water, the Egyptian army all drowned in 10 inches. But it won't 10 inches. The point I'm making is God's in control. He'll make a way. But you've got to be willing to step out on faith. Look up here, and I'm done. The Father's here. He provided the means for you to be saved. He gave his son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. We're going to sing right now. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. I didn't know I was going to share that little story with you. But folks, I want you to know our God reigns. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let's bow down before him right now as our King. Father, we worship you right now. You are our King. You are Lord. May you rule and reign at this invitation. Maybe with that little story of someone just stepping out on faith, knowing that you're going to be here to catch them. You're going to save them. You're going to change your life. I pray today your Holy Spirit will be here doing his work, drawing men, women, boys, and girls to you. May there be great joy at the end of this worship service today. May we rejoice with those who have been hesitant. Maybe they haven't stepped out for some reason. They've not received your Savior, but I pray today would be the day of salvation. If they'll just step out on faith, knowing the Father is going to be there to catch them. Because you provided the way through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we worship you right now. God, may we worship you. Oh, God, may we give you the worship. You're worthy. We're your redeemed as your children. We're the righteous. And God, I pray that we will live repentant lives so our lives can stay pure before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing.